You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Lord, you're here. We're here. Lord, would you speak to our anxious or troubled or burdened or apathetic hearts in the way that you know we need. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This gospel text from Matthew has a lot of rich imagery in it. The wind and the waves and the boat and the sea. And Peter, with that sinking feeling as he's going down into the waters, that sinking feeling. I returned with the youth group last night late from Six Flags over Georgia, which is a cultural experience that everybody should partake in from time to time. Really reminds you of whom we live among. And at Six Flags, there's a ride that goes through a good bit of the park, and it's called Goliath. And it's this roller coaster that has a lot of ups and downs, and it creates this feeling of, you know, the sinking feeling in your stomach as you're released and you go down rushing from 200 foot point, 70 miles an hour, plunging down only to go up again and do it again. And you left your stomach back there on the last, you know, hump, and you keep going around and around. 4 G's of force. I mean, it's really quite an experience. On the way up, you have the click, click, click of the roller coaster. And we're going up, and you can see the city of Atlanta over here and the trees and the people way down there. And I turned to the middle schooler I was sitting next to. It was Tate Green. And, you know, just said, oh boy, what have we gotten ourselves into here? And he turns to me and he just says, oh, don't worry. The worst thing that could happen is if we fall and die, we'll go to heaven and be with God. I was like, hey. Your youth ministry, Advent, there it is. He got it really existential. I wasn't really trying to go that deep, but he really, he brought thoughts into my mind at that moment. But perhaps you know a sinking feeling where just all of a sudden the bottom feels like it's being let out. Maybe that feeling in your stomach and the pit of your stomach where you just know something isn't right. Or maybe it's a persistent anxiety or a fear. Maybe anticipation of something. Maybe it's the middle schooler walking into the cafeteria and looking frantically around for a familiar face. Who can I sit with? Or the college student new to a college campus going, where do I fit in? Who are my people? How do I do this? Maybe it's a work project or a deadline that's bearing down on you and you just feel like you're sweating it out. How am I going to grind through this? Or just the general anxiety and treadmill that we are on in our culture and our life, where you feel overwhelmed by taking on too much. It all feels too much. And in the background is just the heaviness of living in a world that's so full of sin and death. We can identify with Peter in that sense, the sinking feeling, needing to reach up and reach out. Help! Lord, help! One moment he has this wild, surreal experience of walking on water, followed by that all too real wetness, sinking down into the water, the waves sloshing and foaming about, and the wind whipping around. This passage, I do want to say, first of all, is not about our lack of faith, though Jesus does say, why do you doubt? It's not primarily about that, because the assumption of the Bible is that we are doubters, that we are fearful, that we are sinners. No, the question isn't, if only we could muster up enough faith, if only I could get it right, then I would take life by the horns and I'd be in control. Or maybe if I had just conjured up enough faith, then maybe life would go better. No, because that would locate our faith as an internal mechanism that we can flick on or off, or that it's somehow up to us what happens to us and how we deal with it, that it's primarily our activity, our action, our self-worth or self-righteousness. No, this passage reminds me, as we look at this, that Jesus prays and Jesus saves. Jesus prays and he saves. Notice at the beginning of this text, Jesus had just fed the 5,000 on the hillside, and he sends them away, and he sends the disciples out onto the water to do what they do, to go out on a boat, to cross over to the other side. And he goes up to the mountaintop. He goes up on the mountain to pray, to have communion with his heavenly Father. The Trinitarian dance of relationship, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, in perpetual and constant relationship, connection. Jesus prays. You wouldn't be here this morning if Jesus hadn't prayed for you. You wouldn't have gotten up and gotten dressed and come to church. Jesus prays. When you go out on the journey, Jesus prays. When you go and you work and you strive and you succeed and you achieve, Jesus prays for you. When you're in trouble, Jesus prays for you. When you're grieving or mourning or looking around for saving, Jesus prays. When you are hurting or lonely or distraught, Jesus prays. When you're feeling guilty and full of shame, when life's not going the way you had scripted it, take heart. Jesus prays. He prays for you and me, the type who are anxious or stressed or frayed or depressed. He prays for the lonely and the suffering, the guilt-ridden. That is the comfort of the gospel, that God has incarnated himself in such a way that we have a Savior that remembers us and he ever lives to intercede for us. We have only one mediator between God and man, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have an advocate who advocates on our behalf, who pleads our case at the throne of grace. It is Jesus the Christ. While we suffer and while we sin and while we go about our life thinking we have some semblance of control, Jesus prays. Not only does Jesus pray, though, he saves. We see that palpably in this passage as he reaches down and grabs Peter as he's about to go under. You know, walking on water, even Peter's walking on water, that is not the point. That might be an American gospel tale that we would gravitate towards and want to, how can I, you know, ride the bucking bronco for 7 seconds like that, right? How could I achieve something so wonderful? We love to talk about, I used to struggle, but now I've overcome. We love that kind of story. We love the one where we ascend, where we transcend our problems, where we leave them behind and they don't come up behind us and snatch us back into the water. We love the up and to the right visual of life should be working better and better. We should be getting better. Sure, Peter, he believed. He saw Jesus. He was drawn to be with him. He steps out of the boat and he finds himself walking on the water. But I don't think he left with something to brag about. Peter sinks. He runs into his limitations. He realizes, I'm not going to make it. Have any of you tried to stand on a porch swing? You know, a two-seater swing on a front porch? I have. And you're going to see where this goes. I'm reaching up and I think, I'm not going to go get the ladder. Beth's not looking. I can get up there and change this light fixture. And I get up on the porch swing at our old house. And I balance myself. You know, it's a little unsteady. The swing's kind of rocking. But I'm like, I've got this. I'm surfing. I'm on top of the waves, y'all. I'm doing it. You know what happens as I stretch, as I reach, get up on my tippy toes just a little bit more, almost there. What happens? Whoosh! The swing just topples over, right? The chains clang. My body weight hits the ground. I cut my arm on a pot. You know, it's a nasty scene. But there I am, bruised and broken, on the floor, on the ground. I was walking on water. I got too close to the sun. I got knocked down. I need saving. That is the place of the Christian. Not the ascent, but the crying out, but the running into my own limitations. I know we live in a culture of life hacks. We live in a culture where techniques and fads run aplenty, where we measure and we adjust and we medicate and we exact in order to optimize. We're all about optimizing life, YOLO, seizing it, doing it. We do looks maxing and money maxing and sleep maxing and my personal favorite, fiber maxing. Got to stay regular. But we move on when they inevitably fail us or when we run up against, we're not really good at these things and it's not actually making a meaningful difference in my life and I can't possibly keep up on the hamster wheel of performance. We haven't optimized. We can accept a God who created the heavens and the earth and commands the wind and the waves, perhaps. But God, are you going to let me struggle? Are you going to let me falter and fall? Are you going to leave me while the waves are splashing around my face? And so Peter cries out, Lord, save me. The terror in his eyes, you can almost picture it. That is the cry of a true disciple. That is the cry of true faith. One who reaches out and says, Lord, there's none other that can save me but you. I've tried all the things. I walked on the water, but now I need you. I can't save myself. I have nothing but looking to you, Lord Christ, for comfort, for hope, for help, salvation, for peace. And so to the doubting and the sinking, Christ stretches out his hand with compassionate care. It's Christ who comes to the disciples, after all, walking on the water. It's Christ that reaches down into the abyss and grabs up Peter. That is the picture of divinity reaching for humanity. That is the God of strength coming and saving the humans in their place of fear and weakness. That is, of course, the mission for which Jesus Christ has come, to seek and save that which is lost. And Jesus gives a picture of this just two chapters prior in Matthew's gospel in chapter 12, where he references the sign of Jonah. Just as Jonah in the Old Testament was swallowed by the fish in the sea, so the Son of Man, he will go to the depths. He will die. He will sink. Jesus Christ, the one who has been walking on the water, he will be plunged beneath the waves of judgment for the reconciliation of the world. He will go to the furthest length to save us. On the cross, Jesus Christ went down so that you and I might be lifted up. On the cross, Jesus Christ undergoes a baptism of death on our behalf, suffering and dying for us. He meets us where we are, not where we ought to be. He closes the gap between us and the life that we long for. I want to leave you with this last image. There's a TV show called The Bear. It's not about wilderness. It's about a restaurant in Chicago and the chaos that happens there. And there's one character, cousin. His name's Richie. And Richie has an anger problem. Richie doesn't deal with the stress of the job very well, but he's trying to get better. There's actually a redemption arc going on with Richie. And in this most recent season, there's a time he's kind of working on himself, working on becoming a better man, trying to do some therapeutic techniques. And so he's getting really stressed in this one scenario, and he just starts reaching out and he touches napkin, table, chair. And he's saying these things out loud as he touches them in order to ground himself, in order to kind of, you know, calm himself. And a coworker, Jess, comes over. He actually has a crush on her, and she goes, hey, what are you doing? And Richie's like, it's just this like therapy technique thing that I'm working on to try to de-stress myself in these moments. And she says, okay, well, why don't you try it again? She holds out her hand. Richie places his hand on hers and he says, hand. And they look at each other. In the midst of the chaos of the restaurant, in the midst of all the stress and pressure that they're feeling, connection happens. I'd submit to you that the greatest miracle in this passage is not Jesus walking on water. He's the Son of God. He controls all things, physical forces or not. It's not Peter doing likewise, as awesome of a trick as that is. That doesn't help anybody in their real life. The miracle is that as he's soggy and drenched, out of breath, sputtering seawater, wondering what has just happened as he's been plummeted back into the boat, it's the Son of God who is incarnated and present with the disciples. That God has come out onto the lake to be with them. That God has gotten into the boat with them. And he stills the wind and the sea. He's right there. Jesus joins us in the boat. Jesus comes to us and he extends his nail-scarred hands to you and me. Hand, I'm here. And may the taking and receiving of communion be a reminder of that, the tangible presence of the spiritual reality that God nourishes us and cares for us and meets us in our greatest need with his own very self. He closes the gap, puts us in the very presence of God. And that's good news. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you will join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.